Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I was told y'all were going through 2 Timothy, and I was told that I could, if something was on my heart, I could speak on that instead. And well, this is on my heart, and I love 2 Corinthians. This is my favorite probably portion of the Bible. This chapter, I have a lot of favorites, okay, but this is probably my favorite. I turn to 2 Corinthians. There was a gentleman in the assemblies in New Zealand that I knew. His name was Stuart Irons, and I tell this story a lot when speaking about this passage because I absolutely love this story. He passed away, but he was a man like many of y'all that he went through a lot, you know, like all of us as we walk this Christian life. His biggest challenge was going on to the end of his life without his wife, who had passed away. And during his wife was sick, there was nothing we could do. We could just pray, because we all knew that she was dying. But during the time his wife was sick, he always had this comfort and peace. And he always was an encourager. He even gave me a book on peace and comfort while he was going through his wife's sickness. And I thought that was really cool, to give me something like that while he was battling that kind of trial. He wanted to show me how he was comforted by God. And he did it through encouragements and the gift he gave me. And the amazing thing about that, the man I'm mentioning, he's not only he understood he had the God of all comfort by his side, he understood that he could turn around and comfort others. That's the most amazing thing that I loved about that man. And he showed me that I could find comfort in any situation, of course, pointing me to Jesus Christ. You see, a believer has a comforter. A believer has a comforter that speaks peace to the soul. It comforts them by the influence of the Holy Spirit and by the rich mercies of His grace. We have a comfort. We have the God of all comfort. And that is what Paul is writing here to the church in chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians. God is our comfort. And I want to look at that subject this morning. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 7 there. Verses 3 and 7 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and a God of all comfort, who comforts us in all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same suffering which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation." Verse 7, "And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you are partake of the consolation." And we'll stop there. Now, some will say that this is Paul's most difficult letter to write. In this book, Paul has to defend his character to the church. You could say he was faced with accusation. You can see that in chapter 10, if you read through the book, chapter 10, Paul replies to his accusers when they accuse him of being weak when present, only bold in his letters. But we won't kind of get into that. But what Paul does in 2 Corinthians, like any other letter that Paul writes, Paul points to the power behind his actions, to the power behind his words, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this book, we see Christ in the Scriptures right away. Paul opens up to show that he experienced the comfort of the risen Savior in the midst of his hardships. He wanted to show that Jesus is a source of a Christian's comfort. And that's really what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about, look at two points this meeting. Number one, I want to look at, we have a comforter. And number two, we have a responsibility to comfort others. God doesn't just comfort us to make us comfortable, but rather we might comfort others. And the man I mentioned, Stuart Irons, and many others that I know here and across the world have used God's comfort in their lives to comfort others. And that's a responsibility we all have. And so let's look at number one. We have a comforter. Look at verse 3 again. Verse 3 of this chapter says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and a God of all comfort. And at the start of verse 4, it says, who comforts us in all tribulation. Now, personal trials and tribulation come in all form, rejection, criticism, financial setbacks, sickness, death, and so on. And yet, despite what we're going through, despite what a believer is going through in their life, we have a comforter. And in verse 3 here, Paul calls God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ by two other names. And these are beautiful names, very powerful names too. He says, number one, the Father of mercies. And then he says, the God of all comfort. Those are two beautiful names. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Before we look at comfort, let's look at that name, the Father of mercies, real fast. You don't have to turn there, but Psalms 118 is one of my favorite psalms where it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. God's mercy is his loving compassion for his people. His mercy endures forever. Another one of my favorite verses when you talk about mercy is Lamentations 3:22-23, where it says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. They are new every morning. Those verses, Lamentations, are one of my favorite, especially when you go through hard times, because it's such a great reminder, right? It's a great reminder that we get to experience more of God's love each day of our lives. It's a beautiful thing to think about. Every day presents us with a new opportunity to discover and experience more of God's love. And so as we go through these trials in our lives, and we feel like we are going through some type of maybe suffering or hardship, we need to be reminded daily that each day of our lives, we get to wake up and experience God's mercy, his love, and his grace. Another one of my favorite verses talking about mercy is 1 Peter 1:3, where it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope. His abundant mercy. Our salvation is grounded in God's mercy. His act of compassion toward us, despite our condition of sinfulness. Right? We fail, we fall, yet the Lord Jesus Christ is still there. He still loves us. Despite who we are, Christ saved us and wants a relationship with us. And that's the beauty of the gospel. That is the beauty of the gospel, a thing that God wants a relationship with us. We have fallen, we have failed, and yet Jesus Christ came on the scene, the perfect sacrifice. We have the Father of all mercies, and that is the first thing we need to understand today. And of course, we have the Father of all comfort as well. Let's look at this word comfort here. Turn to John chapter 14. John 14. The New Testament word for comfort is always more than just showing sympathy. Okay, it has the idea of strengthening, of helping, of making one strong. And the great thing about our God is that he comforts us in many different ways. One way is through the Word. Another way is through other believers, and we'll get to that very shortly. But in John, we see God has provided another comforter, and that is through the Holy Spirit, which we're going to look in more depth next hour. But turn to John. I want to read some verses to show the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Go to John, but as you turn to John, I want to read some more verses as you turn there, just to show what the Holy Spirit is there to do. Acts 9:31 says, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Romans talks about the Holy Spirit helps in our weakness. Romans 8:26 says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we should, but the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us. And we also see in Romans, he emphasizes that communication between us and God is one of the key works of God's Spirit in us. Romans 8:16 says, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." And then we get to John 14 here, verse 26. It says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all that I said to you." If you go back a few verses back, look at John 14:15. It says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper or comforter," in the King James Version, "that He will abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." Verse 18 here, I love this verse. "I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." Here in verse 16 of John 14, we see the Lord praying to the Father to send another helper. Now this word helper can be translated, "one called to the side of another helper." Another translation says comforter. One translation says advocate. And if you look at verse 18, like I said, I love this verse, you will see the word orphans. Or another translation, you'll see the word comfortless. And the reason I love this verse is because in John 13:33, Jesus called His disciples little children. And now He's saying, "I'm not going to leave you fatherless. I'm not going to leave you like an orphan." Now, I'm very lucky to have parents growing up, okay? I don't really know what it's like to be an orphan, okay? I can only just imagine what it's truly like being an orphan. It doesn't sound fun, okay? I'm very lucky. But you see, an orphan, I'm sure, has little sense of home, feeling safe or safe in a very hostile world. Orphans often maybe feel betrayed by loved ones and by life. But we see in John 14, Jesus promises, "I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you like orphans. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going away, yes, but I'm going to provide you with another helper. I'm going to provide you with the Holy Spirit." Well, one preacher looked at this Greek word, and now, of course, I'm no Greek scholar, but according to one preacher, this word comfortless, or this word orphan, is defined as a broader sense to describe students who felt abandoned, deserted, forsaken, or discarded by their teacher. Have we ever felt that way? Maybe. You know, going through periods of our lives, maybe feeling this type of way. But as Christians, we don't have to feel this type of way. Why? Well, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. We have God. And sometimes when we go through the hardships of life, we feel like God isn't there. Sometimes we might feel like an orphan, yet throughout Scripture we see God is not going to leave us. If you're a believer in Christ, He will abide with you forever. And that is an amazing thing about our God. And so we must understand this morning, even though we don't know how, or even though we can't see how we'll get out of a situation maybe, we can have comfort today knowing He is always with us. He has provided everything we need to stand through any situation. Let's not forget that. So number one, we have a comforter. God is the God of all comfort. Turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, if you will. And you can clearly see that as we are comforted, as we have the God of all comfort by our side, we must comfort others. And that is my second point. This hour, number two, we have the responsibility to comfort others. Look at the second part of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. Verse 4 says, the second part there, it says that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Paul here gives one of the main reasons why we who are believers are comforted by God, so that we can turn right around and comfort others. And once again, this is not just showing sympathy, okay? It refers to the encouragement and exhortation that we can give to someone when they are in time of need. Now, personally for me, this is probably the most amazing thing I think about with Paul. Now, we all have some characteristics that we look up to Paul. We try to be like Paul in some areas. But here in 2 Corinthians, he's thinking and writing in a way that I don't really think about a lot of times, okay? And that is to first understand his positive in his suffering, that no matter what, God is with him to comfort him, but then to turn around and use it to comfort other people as well. Because I tell you, a lot of times, you know, when we're going through something, the first thought is, and this is me here speaking, the first thought is all about me, right? It's all about me. And then even when we are comforted by God, even when we understand that, all right, God's comforting us, we still think it's all about me. That's me. That's what I think sometimes. But in 2 Corinthians, Paul is saying we're not comforted to be comfortable sometimes. We don't go through these things of suffering to learn God's comfort just for the benefit of ourselves. Now, of course, we need to learn these things for ourselves. Of course, it's going to help our personal relationship with the Lord. Of course. But there's another reason for it. There's another reason for it. And another big reason is that we can turn around and comfort others. One of my favorite quotes talking about this, it says, Paul knew how to encourage because he knew what it was like to be discouraged. And we see that Paul had experienced a very traumatic event not long before writing this letter to the church. Look at verse 8 of this chapter. Verse 8 now of chapter 1. It says, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, for our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we were despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us, and you also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given to many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Now, I'm not too sure exactly what the trouble Paul had here. I don't know what he was facing. Now, it may refer to the dangerous riots which took place in Ephesus, and you'll see that in Acts 19. That's what some commentaries will point out. Some say it was a deadly sickness. We don't really know here. But the point is, Paul felt the sentence of death. And because they were completely helpless against the sufferings in their circumstances, Paul wrote they were forced to rely on God completely. And he goes on and says, the God of all comfort, yeah, he delivered us out. He even uses the deliverance in the three tense, past, present, future, in verse 10. Look at verse 10. He delivered us from death. He's able to deliver us day to day, and he will continue to deliver us until he comes back. And like I said, Paul knew how to encourage because he knew what it was like to be discouraged. Paul knew what it was like to be in suffering and the Lord comforting him, and now he can comfort others. You know, I can come up here and I can talk about these verses and, you know, share scripture. And of course, we can't be comforted by that because it's God's word, right? We can read commentaries and Bible scholars, and we can't be comforted because we're reading God's word. But there's just something different. There's something more powerful when a believer goes alongside another believer, walks with them daily, encourages them daily, because they know exactly what it's like, because they have dealt with the same problem. And like I said before, one of those Greek meanings of the word comfort is coming alongside. That's a special thing. And so don't think your suffering, your hardship is a waste. There's reason for it. Right? A parent who lost a parent can best comfort those who lost... can best comfort those who lost a child. A man who lost his wife or a wife that lost his man, his husband, can best comfort those who lost their partner. And even if we can't fully understand or relate to a person in their suffering, we know what it's like to have God comfort us. Right? Sometimes we don't have to know the details. We can just come alongside them and comfort them because we know what it's like to be comforted by God. So don't think your suffering is a waste. There's reason for it. And maybe, just maybe the reason is so you can turn right around and comfort others. And so what I want to do now is just go through some things. Actually, before we do that, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I just want to point out one example here of how God comforted Paul. Go to chapter 7. Here's a beautiful example. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. It says, "For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the consolation with which he was comforted in you, when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more." And so you see here the intensity of the spiritual warfare Ephesus in Macedonia. It took its toll on Paul, and so we see now here Titus comes on the scene. The God of all comfort comforted Paul with Titus. And when I read stuff like that, I read of verses where it talks about how, you know, two brothers helping one another, or, you know, Proverbs 27:17, where it says, you know, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Like, we need each other. We need each other to comfort, to encourage, to exhort, to sharpen. And look at verse 13 of chapter 7. Verse 13, it says, "Therefore we have been comforted in your comfort, and we rejoice exceedingly more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all." He uses this word, refreshed. The arrival of Titus was a relief for Paul. God uses people to lift us up when we're down. David had Jonathan. Moses had Joshua. Paul had Silas, Barnabas, Timothy, Titus. God uses people to encourage other believers. And the Lord wants to use you and use me for the same thing. Sometimes we just kind of, maybe in suffering or hardships, maybe we can kind of get in the cycle of maybe complaining or being critical. Now, once again, I'm talking to myself here. You know, we could just focus on the negative of all sometimes. It's easy to do, okay? Very easy. But I was thinking, how can I be a comfort if all I do is focus on the negative all the time? How can I be a comfort if I'm just looking and complaining all the time? Does my presence encourage other people? Do I lift them up or do I bring them down? That's a hard question to ask myself sometimes. But I think it's a very important one. I went to a high school, very small town in New Zealand. It was a high school where there was really no Christians there. Some people said they were Christians, but, you know, they didn't have the God of all comfort in them. They didn't have God's love, and they didn't have the relationship with Him. But when I got around other believers outside of high school, when I got around other believers, you could say there was this refreshing relief. You know, it was refreshing to be by other believers, by your side, to have believers that would encourage you, to strengthen you to go through any circumstance or situation, to encourage your walk. So God has provided everything we need for comfort. And one of those reasons is He provided other believers. So we need to understand that this morning as well. He has provided other believers to comfort us. So what I want to do now is just go through some verses just to show what comfort can look like. How can we encourage? How can we exhort one another this morning? You don't have to turn to these verses if you don't want to. I'm going to read quite a bit of them, but Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." D.L. Moody had a quote with this verse that I absolutely love. He says, "A true friend is like ivy. The greater the ruin, the closer he clings." the greater the ruin, the closer he clings. We can comfort one another by showing love through any circumstance. There are some who love when things are going great, but when times of trouble come, they leave. Just like Job. Job 19:14 says that, where it says, "My relatives have failed me, and my close friends have forgotten me." It often takes the suffering of this world, the hardship, to see which friends love at all times. And by the way, we can clearly see Jesus in Proverbs 17:17. We can clearly see Jesus there. There's not a time that goes on during the day that Jesus is not near. He loves through it all just like a friend, and we can turn around and love others the same way. Now, this might be just taking them aside and praying with them. This might be getting together and having a Bible study together. This might be cooking a meal for someone, taking time out of your day just to visit with them, to talk, or just to listen. Right? It could be as simple as that, simple as just listening. Whatever it may be, we can comfort one another. Another verse, Colossians 3:13-14, says, "Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." And verse 14 says, "But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." I'm also reminded of Galatians 6:2, where it says, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Burdens means trials, temptations, failures. When you get to know me more and more, you're going to understand and see my failures. Same with y'all. When I learn about you guys, I'm gonna see some of your failures. There's been times when, there's one time actually that someone came up to my sister and they said, "You know, I can never see Caleb angry." She's like, "Caleb just doesn't get angry." And my sister was like, "What are you talking about? Like, are we talking about the same person here?" Like, she was shocked. Because my family knows me. They know. They know. They've seen me at my worst. They know my failures. They know my flaws. And when we get close to one another, we're going to see our failures. We're going to see our flaws. But as William McDonald put it, and I love this, he says, "It often takes the grace of God for us to put up with the failures of others as it must be for them to put up with ours." And so, you know, sometimes we're going to have to correct a brother. Sometimes we're going to show what they've done wrong, and that's really hard to do, okay? But that might have to be done. But when the brother fails, instead of watching and judging, we can come alongside them and help them through it. The verse I quoted in Colossians, it says, "Forgiving one another." And another challenging question that I had for myself is, how can I be a comfort if I can't forgive another brother? How can I be a comfort to them if I can't forgive them? I don't know how that works, really. We as humans often look at a situation and puff ourselves up, maybe saying that, "Well, I would never do that. Why would I forgive them?" But in Colossians it says, "Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." We're all failed sinners. And maybe we can go alongside that person, help them through it, show them scripture if need be, correct them. Hard to do, but walk with them and help them through it. The last verses I want to read for this hour is in Ecclesiastes, and you can turn there if you want to. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Here in Ecclesiastes, Solomon is grieved to see the tears of the oppressed. And the reason why I just want to read these verses to end this message is because it shows that the absence of anyone that doesn't have comfort only increases the pain and frustration. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 1 there. Starting in verse 1. Says, "Then I turned and considered all the oppression that is done under the sun, and look, the tears of the oppressed, but they have no comforter. On the side of their oppressors there is power, but they have no comforter. Therefore I praise the dead who are already dead more than the living who are still alive. Yet better than both is he who has never existed, who has not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. Verse 8 there says, there is one alone, without companion. He has neither son nor brother, yet there is no end to all his labors, nor his eye satisfied with riches. But he never asks, for whom do I toil and deprive myself of good? This also is vanity and a grave misfortune. Verse 9 there says, two are better than one. And then you get to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 10 there, that says, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls. So in Ecclesiastes, we see chapter 4, verse 1, there's no comforter. Verses 4 to 6, you'll see there is no rest. And you see in verse 8 there is no companion. But you get to verse 10, and here's the benefit of having a companion. They will lift you up. And I was reading one commentary talking about supportive friends and healthy relationships, and it says, supportive friends and healthy relationships are absolutely essential for successful recovery. When we fall down, we need help getting up again. If we stand alone, we're especially vulnerable to inner enemies. We must learn to trust others, to reach out to others, and to admit our needs for others. This will give us added strength, wisdom, and protection. And so, as we think about all this stuff this morning, you know, let's be first thankful that we are never alone, that we have the God of all comfort by our side. But let us be thankful that God has provided comfort through His Word, through other believers, and the comfort through the Holy Spirit. And I'm very excited about looking more in depth next meeting here, talking more in depth about the Holy Spirit. But that's the comfort that He gives us. But then, of course, the challenge for today in 2 Corinthians, the challenge is to turn around and comfort others. To turn around what God has comforted us and comfort others. You know, I was reading a book the other day, and I forget what book it was. But I was reading this little thing, this one page, talking about how we've made the Christian life very complex. And I have to agree with him here on this. Maybe it's because we've gotten away from teaching the Word and are teaching the thoughts of men more. It might be that we read our Bibles in the light of, you know, psychology rather than the other way around. And I don't mean to oversimplify it, but I know life can be complicated. But as I looked at Scripture and I see the lives of godly people in the life of Christ, is it possible that we made the Christian life a lot more complex? Now, that's a whole, we can get into all that rabbit trail there. But the thought is here, have I made comforting others, have I made loving others a lot more complex than it needs to be? Maybe it's because of pride, maybe it's because of judgmental thoughts, I'm not sure. But let's comfort those that are in need of comfort. Let's love and forgive others. Let's use what God has comforted us with, turn around and comfort others. That's the challenge. That's the challenge this morning. So let's just pray. Dear God, Father, we just thank you so much for today. We just thank you so much for your Word in 2 Corinthians. We just thank you so much that you are a God of all comfort, that comforts us through your Word, through other people, and through the Holy Spirit. We just pray, Lord, now that as we, you know, look at these things, that we can turn around and comfort others, to forgive, to love. In your name, amen.